Welcome to Hustle with Purpose, the show where driven entrepreneurs and innovative business owners come together to redefine the grind. Dive deep with us into actionable strategies, hear inspiring success stories, and uncover resources designed to transform your business. I'm your host, Jacinta Gandhi. Ready to elevate your entrepreneurial journey? Let's get started. My guest today is Brittany Anderson. Brittany is the owner and founder of Adorn Headwear, a luxury hat and accessories brand specializing in extended sizing. During a 2020 trip to Palm Springs, Brittany struggled to find a stylish hat that could accommodate her hair comfortably in the 105-degree heat. This challenge highlighted a significant gap in the market for individuals with curls, locks, fros, or larger head sizes, who often have to choose between comfort and style. Motivated by her own experience, Brittany launched Adorn Headwear to ensure that style and comfort are accessible to everyone, regardless of their hair type or head size. Adorn Headwear is not just a brand. It's a movement towards inclusivity and quality in fashion. A fabulous entrepreneur and one of our fabulous clients, Brittany Anderson. How are you, Brittany?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yes, welcome to the show. I'm really pumped to talk to you today.
I'm excited to be here. First time on a podcast.
Woohoo! Well, I'm sure it will not be the last. I'm really excited to talk to you today because you did a thing. You turned a problem that you were having into a niche and created a really cool product. So I'm really, really excited to just dig deeper into that today and really give you the opportunity to share your story with others. But before we get into that, I like to start off the podcast by asking everyone the same question. And the question is, what is the purpose of your hustle? What's the deeper mission behind Adorn that motivates you every day?
I want people at the end of the day to feel confident in themselves and how they present themselves to the world and how they look, how they feel. And it may sound kind of crazy, but a hat really helps build that confidence a lot of times, especially one that's just fits well. So I want people to feel beautiful and feel confident.
That is awesome. And I love the way you answered that, like without no hesitation, because confidence is everything, right? When you feel confident, the way you show up and the way you speak to people, the opportunities that you'll take, it really does change everything. So yes, I'd love for you to take us back to that moment, right, where you founded Adorn. You were preparing for this trip to Palm Springs, which I still haven't been there. I can't wait to go there. And you were struggling to find a hat that fit, right?
The struggle was really real. Yeah. I ordered so many hats online. I already knew I needed to find large size, big hats. That's all I was searching for. I found about 3 different hats. I placed my order. I was super excited. We were getting close to the trip and none of them really fit me, despite being advertised that they're large and would fit. And so I ended up going with this style where it was like the circular hat, where it was almost like a visor of sorts, where, I mean, it was functional. It just wasn't cute.
Right. The one was it, like they snap in the back.
Exactly. Oh, but it had Velcro. And so my hair kept getting caught in it. It was just, it did the trick. It kept the sun out of my face, but it wasn't giving, you know, I wanted to float on my floaty and look cute. And it so yeah, I was just kind of like, why is he so difficult? And I kind of left it alone and it came back and it just was very persistent thought. And I just kind of followed it down the rabbit hole from there.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing because I feel like so many people, they get confronted with a challenge in their personal life and then they just let it go. They're like, well, I guess I'm just not a hat person, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you went back to this thought and you decided to launch this business. What was the moment where you were like, okay, I'm going to do this?
I don't think at first I knew I was going to launch a business. I had always wanted to launch a business and I didn't have an idea of what it could be. And then when I kept thinking about this, my mind kept drifting back to it because it just came so naturally. And it was something that I was very interested in, very passionate about. It literally kept me up at night. I would wake up 3 in the morning, be like, write that down. But it became like, why isn't there larger size hat? Is there something I don't know? So I just kind of approached it with a sense of curiosity. And I've never manufactured anything before. I knew nothing about hats other than I wanted to wear them. Kept going with it until I ran into issues. And so far, there haven't been too many major ones.
That's awesome. And I am so impressed by that because I think it does really take a lot of courage and commitment to be like, okay, I want to do this thing, but I have no idea how to do this thing.
None.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, I always refer to it as like the deepest rabbit hole I've ever been down. And I love a good rabbit hole. This one was just like, I wonder. I just was curious and I just went until
here I am today. I don't know. That's funny. The deepest rabbit hole. We've all been there, right? And then you came up and you're like, I launched a business.
Yeah, crazy. And I launched it the next year in Palm Springs again. So I think Palm Springs has like this special place in my heart. The heat just sizzles my brain, gets it going. I don't know.
Yes. Well, I've heard that about Palm Springs. I've heard it's a magical place. So I think that could definitely have been the impetus for it. But yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool that you just went for it, right? And you were able to start this business. And I also love that you said that you led with curiosity, because I think the thing that holds people back a lot of times is they'll be like, ooh, but how would I do that? Right. And they have like more questions than answers. And so that almost like paralyzes them.
Which I do understand because I'm like that as well. I don't know what made this experience different, just other than me being more comfortable and confident in myself just as a person. But I think a lot of times people feel like they have to launch this business, right? And it has to be just it's set up, it makes sense, yada, yada. But sometimes you just start with one thing, like just test it out. See if there's a market for it. See if there's an appetite. When you get that feedback, you can think about taking that to the next level. Just experiment.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, I mean, you selfishly, I think you wanted a fly hat for yourself.
I needed a hat. I was like, listen, if this all doesn't work out, I got some samples. They're mine. They fit. Great. I win.
I love it. That is so cool. So, I mean, you said you always wanted to be like a business owner, which I think is great. It's funny. Some people are like, I knew I wanted to be a business owner from day one. Some people are like, I had no idea I wanted to be a business owner. But I think you're in the middle with the like, I wanted to be a business owner, but I wasn't sure what. I'm curious. Did you have other ideas that you thought of
before?
Had a kick to the curb?
So many ideas. And it's crazy. I have even more now. Going for it has just turned on a faucet that just will not turn off. I just have so many ideas, so little time. But I think little Brittany was always really into like fashion design, really into accessories, jewelry, love statement earrings. And so for the longest time, I thought I would navigate into that area. And I kind of moved away from it. So I think it's kind of funny now that I'm fashion adjacent, kind of.
Yeah.
So I returned back to it and I still don't want to do the earrings thing because I have lots of ideas about.
Yeah, I'm just happy to hear that, actually.
Yeah.
Fly hat and fly earrings.
Yeah. And it really just tied back to what I really loved doing as a kid, which was sketching out ideas. I used to try to put purses together and everything. And I think it's just crazy that now at 33 and back and doing it.
I love that. That's so cool. So have you had, and I say this lightly, but any like formal training in like the fashion world?
No.
Okay.
No. I do watch a lot of Project Runway, so I am informally educated for that. It has nothing to do with anything that I studied, my career, like nothing. It's just totally for me. And I really like having that outlet because I get to be a little bit more creative than I typically am in my day to day.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's really great because I asked that question on purpose because, hint, I knew that was the case. But I feel like a lot of people, they're like, well, I don't have any fashion experience, so how could I possibly have a fashion brand, right? Let things like that hold them back instead of just like you did, like just following the curiosity and just doing it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many ways you can bring your visions to life, and it doesn't have to look like anybody else's brand or style or anything like that. And I think that's what makes it exciting and difficult, because taking the time to get that clarity about how you want to show up is intimidating.
Totally. No, it's really true. What was your biggest fear starting your own business?
I think starting, I wasn't super fearful of much, because I had no intention of starting this business until it was time. But once I did, and we've talked about this, my fear was, oh my gosh, I have to put myself out there.
Yeah.
I can't just put these out there and be like, hey, yeah, I know they're great. They're great. Wear them, love them. But I have to say that, like, that's crazy. That's crazy. I put my face on the internet. Like, I just have to put myself out there, show up, have more conversations. I'm an introvert, so this is really stressing me sometimes, but you know, we're here, I'm doing it. So yeah, that still is the most fearful thing.
Yeah. And I feel like that's normal. I have a lot of entrepreneurs that I work with, and they say the same thing. They all have the biggest fear of just like putting themselves out there. And I say this for you and also for anyone that's listening, like, that's such a normal fear. You know, I think that's so normal to feel that way. And I have struggled with that fear a lot too in my own business. And the way that I've gotten through it has been like, you know what? It's not about me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think when you start to approach it from that mindset, where it's, I'm not doing this podcast for me, you know, I'm doing it for the other like small business owners that need insight, they need encouragement, yeah. Right? And also, I can't be mad about other things going on. Right? Or other messaging that's out there that I don't agree with, if I'm not going to enter the chat, if you will.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. I think for you, like, you're doing an amazing service, because there are other people like you, right, that are struggling to find a hat that fits, that's quality, that is well made. And the thing you said about confidence, I mean, it's so true. Like, when we were at Monterey Jazz Fest and I was there with my sister, who I love her, but she's one of those people, you ask her to do something, the answer will be no, right? You ask her at least 3 times before you get like a maybe. And she even went into it being like, I don't know, I don't really wear hats. Mm-hmm. And then she put the hat on, right? All of a sudden, things started changing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the smile's creeping up. She's walking a different way. There's just a new, like, oh,
that was so funny.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm standing at your stand and watching that happen to other people over and over again. And it's such a cool experience. I mean, even the folks that do wear hats, finding a hat that actually fit them properly, and the excitement mm-hmm. that they get from that.
Yeah. I love when people say, I'm not a hat person, because I take that as a challenge.
Nice.
And I said, they're not yet, right? And I don't expect everybody who comes by my booth to purchase, but at least, hey, do you know what size you wear? Come on, let's get you measured. Hey, have you tried on a hat that has fit you before? And people, they'll swear, oh, no, my head's too big, And then they end up wearing like my smallest size. I'm like, no, because my head is definitely bigger than yours. But just to see that transformation, your sister, by the time she tried on her second hat, she had the swagger going. The hat was tilted. She was like, oh, okay. She saw the vision. That's one of the reasons why I really love having these in-person experiences, because it is such a transformation. Like, you do have to challenge people a bit about some of the beliefs that they have, that they're not a hat person, or they can't wear this color, or this brim is too XYZ. Let's put it on and let's go from there.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, having those in-person moments where you've been able to meet customers, right, have probably really affirmed your business idea.
Oh, yeah. I mean, selfishly, that's one of the really great reasons of doing these events, because I think as confident as I am in the idea, I still feel like, what am I doing? I've never done this before. Ah. And so for people to be like, make a beeline to my booth and be so excited and tell me their stories and just kind of fall in love with the brand, it gives you like that boost of energy and that reassurance that will get you through the days where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because they're there because they're freaking.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I would say that's normal too. The what am I doing? Why am I doing this?
Right.
Like, I've asked myself like all of the questions. And I think that is just, that's normal with the ebb and flow that comes with entrepreneurship. Ultimately, it seems like you knew you wanted to do something and then you had this real life challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And you really couldn't find a solution to it, right?
Yeah.
That is kind of why it stuck with you, right? Because it was like, this is the thing. This is the thing that you were meant to do.
It really was. And I didn't recognize it at first until it was just that persistent, like me returning back to it. So I do appreciate it happening that way versus me trying to like, I got to find something because I stick with this because I really believe in it. And it's just something I'm super interested in solving that problem for others.
Yeah, I agree. I was very intrigued by this when you shared this with me when we started working together. People who have large heads, right, tend to be in the African-American community, right?
Yeah.
Also, the fact that we like to wear fros, we wear locks, we have big curls, right? So there's the way we style our hair, which plays a large role in needing hats that have more headroom.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm using myself as an example. I change my hair all the time. I love my fro. I love my braids. I love my silk presses. Again, I don't want to have to pick and choose how I show up because I can't find a hat to fit my head. You know, this has been a lifelong problem. I haven't found helmets. Anything that goes on your head will not fit.
Maybe that's next.
Yeah, right?
Earrings first.
Yeah. So, and then I have my mom, my aunts, my best friends, all natural and all voluminous hair, big hair. So I knew people in my immediate circle who can benefit from this. And when they were excited as well, it's like, okay, I think I got something here.
So tell me more about like how it came to be, because I'm sure folks are listening and they're like, oh, that sounds great. But what was the first big step you made where you're like, okay, this is real. This is actually happening.
A couple of things. Forming that LLC. So I formed it back in 2021 while in Palm Springs, that second trip to Palm Springs. Getting my EIN number, finding a manufacturer. That was a huge one.
Oh, yeah.
Because working with folks are like, why do you want to make hats so big? And I'm like, because we need them. They're looking at me like
manufacturers are giving you pushback.
They are. And I'm like, just trust me here. And, you know, creating those molds, those sizes don't exist, right? So that's an extra cost.
Wow.
But an investment that I was willing to make because it just needed to happen. So, yeah, finding the manufacturers were really big win. I'm a lifelong member of YouTube University. So just trying to figure out how other business owners have navigated this process and Googling and just trying to figure out all the resources that are available. But yeah, I would say just kind of forming it so it was legitimate and then finding that manufacturer. The day I got my samples, I was crying. Some of them were like, yes, this is it. Some of them are like, oh, I should have asked more questions here. This is not the color I was expecting. But getting that first shipment, putting that hat on my head, I felt like a proud parent.
Nice. It's,
that was a big win. And then, of course, making that first sale, I was like, you're a whole stranger.
Wow.
You don't know me. You don't know nothing about me. And you just came up, boop, here you go. That was pretty dope. So there's been a couple of really special moments.
Yeah, that's great. So what advice would you give entrepreneurs or maybe aspiring entrepreneurs that are maybe in the same scenario as you? Maybe they've identified something that's lacking in the market and they're thinking of trying to create or launch something of their own. What advice would you give to them?
I would say just what you just said, just try. You don't have to try with the intention of launching a full-blown business if that's not a decision that we've come to yet. But you do need to try. You do need to see if your idea works. You do need to go through the process of ideating and prototyping, finding that manufacturer if you're manufacturing something, and getting that in your hands, because that will inform your next step. When it's tangible, when you can hold it, touch it, the rest of the stuff you'll figure out. There are people whose jobs it is to kind of help people navigate to understand next steps. You can get on the phone and call folks and just ask questions until you feel comfortable enough to take that next step. But step number one is just trying.
Yeah, I agree.
Business or no business in the end is not important at that stage. It's just bringing something that you've been obsessing over, essentially, to life, I think is really powerful in itself.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think that's really important because the getting started part, right? Like you just did it. You didn't ask for permission. You're like, I'm just doing this, right? Mm-hmm. And you were open to seeing what happened and literally taking it one step at a time, right? Okay, I got over this hurdle. Now I'm going to get to the next hurdle, right?
Yep. This entrepreneurship life will teach you to take one thing at a time. That is for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we collaborated on creating your website. What was like your favorite part of that process?
We've had a lot of good conversation about the vision and your direction. And I think one, just being able to talk to you about some of my ideas and you really being a thought partner and then say, hey, have you considered this or have you considered that, both for the website and just business strategy, was really exciting. And then seeing it all come together, because I'm very proud of my cute little first iteration of my website. It was up. Not a lot of people saw it because I was like, oh, this needs a little massaging. But to have the finished product of like, oh, yes, okay, this is it. Again, just very exciting to have it go from idea to it exists. So I think the whole process is very exciting.
Yay, that's great. I'm always happy to hear that. And yeah, it was like, I think it came together really well.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
So I'm excited to hear, like, I actually have the latest, I believe it's the latest, the maroon burgundy hat that came out, and I've worn it a couple times. I am a hat person, you know, especially as I go through this hair transformation. I like how you said you switch up your hair, and I've been like leaning into working out more, which is always, I guess this is probably something only Black women experience, but whenever you're considering like a new workout routine, you're like, all right, well, what am I going to do with my hair?
Right? Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like the first question. And so it's been great to just be like, I just throw on my, I have somewhere to go. I'm just going to throw on my hat.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't consider myself a hat person, but when I go and wear that hat, people think I'm a hat person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a statement. The color, it's a good shape. You're a hat person when you put that on.
You definitely are. And it definitely changes and elevates the mood, you know, like a good hat. And then you just put on like a nice shade of lipstick and earrings. And it's like, it's a whole
different romanticizing your life.
Whole different situation.
It really is.
Yeah. So cool. I want to switch gears a bit and ask you some questions just to learn more about you, get to know you a little bit better. So what's the first thing you do to set the tone for a successful day in the morning?
I am still figuring that out. My That's morning band is a mess right now. When I'm operating as my best self, it's just a lot of quiet time in the morning. So my phone is away and I'm really just able to be with my thoughts and ease myself into the morning. And so I'm hoping to get back there.
Yeah, I love that. I love the honesty of just, I'm just figuring that out. Because I think it is hard. I was talking about this on another episode. It's like when you kind of have decided what that routine looks like, this has been a struggle for me, trying not to get frustrated when that doesn't happen, right? Because now in your mind, you've created this quote unquote perfect morning, but some days it's just not going to be like that, right? Like some days you're going to be tired for maybe no apparent reason. Your body just needs more rest, right? Or maybe you're going to abruptly get woken up by a siren. I don't know if that happens in Austin, but it happens all the time in New York City.
Yeah. So I think you bring up a good point. Routines are good, but they also shift And just being able to be flexible with that.
At least that's what I tell myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the struggle bus right now. My mornings are here, there, everywhere, but I'm going to get it together. I'm going to life together.
Understandable. So when you need a break from work, what's your favorite way to unwind?
Oh my gosh, I'm working on this as well, because truthfully, my unwinding is like, oh, let me watch an educational video, or like, oh, let me read an educational book. And I'm realizing I'm not recharging the way that I need to. As much as it's like, ooh, my brain is excited, yay. Like, it's also, at the end of the day, like, girl, lay down. So, also a work in progress. But when I am successful, I like watching just smut on TV. I have recently watched Love is Blind.
It is a disaster and I love it. I love it so much.
And then I love Twitter. I will never delete that app. I love the nonsense that's on Twitter. I love just Black Twitter, particular Twitter for life.
Wow. You mean X? Isn't it called X now?
I am not referring to that app as X. The app formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah. Yes. My husband is a big Twitter fan, and I will say it's a little annoying.
Love Twitter. YouTube rabbit holes.
Yes.
I'm really good for a good rabbit hole.
Nice.
I've learned a lot about truckers and their lifestyle on YouTube. Yep. Anything that just piques my curiosity, I'll just go down the rabbit hole.
Nice. I mean, it sounds like you really are into studying human behavior, right?
I guess you can say that.
I fixed it for you. Were you
good way.
Privy to the like Risa, Tisa? Have you been following all that unfold?
Oh my gosh. I've heard of it. I was like, how many parts? Nah, I'm good. Because once I start, I commit.
Yeah, it's 8 hours and I just, from what I understand.
See, nah.
People are calling it a social media soap opera.
I've heard great things, like the way that she tells her story. 8 hours is a long time. And I don't want to be pissed off at a man I don't even know. Like, but, you know, God bless her.
Yeah. No, she was actually on Tamron Hall and she's really.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I think people can relate because it's like it either happened to them or they know someone it happened to or it's their one fear. Like, it's just that type of relatable. And then obviously. Yep. Her being the narrator and telling it the way she does is very captivating.
To hold people's attention for that long, you have to be an excellent storyteller.
Yes.
So I'm kind of intrigued at that point, but I'm like, I can't.
If you weren't running a Dorn, what's another dream job you pursue?
So my family and I, we used to take these trips a lot of times to Jamaica, sometimes to Mexico. And over the years, the trip has grown from like immediate family to like family and friend to the last trip that we ended up taking pre-pandemic. There was about 30 people.
Wow.
Teens, adult, grandparents.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And yeah, I organized all that. And so I didn't realize that was something that people had an interest in until they were like, oh, man. Thanks for setting this up. It was so easy. And, you know, we just had to book our flight and we had a special dinner, beachside dinner with a DJ one night. And I had a lot of fun researching the resort, figuring out what special experiences and enhancements that we had there. So now that I know people would actually have an interest in someone doing that for them, I think I would do something like that and just create special moments during those trips, create some vibes, make it luxurious. Make it so that, like, you just show up, you get on your plane, you arrive, and everything's kind of set up for you. So I think about that a lot of, like, a second part of my career, right? If I choose to pivot doing something like that. Small scale first, of course.
Yeah, I absolutely love that idea. And it's probably a bigger market than you imagine, right? Because
I had no idea.
Yeah, because so many people, like, I love to travel. I think most people love to travel. But for me, that's the toughest part, right? It's like, it's a job in itself, especially if you've never been there before. It's a job in itself, figuring out the right flight times and then, you know, figuring out where you're going to stay and then how long is it from the airport to here, like coordinating the logistical part, right? The part that's no fun to me is like the logistical part, you know, and it's really hard. And so once you finally figure that out, it's like, well, the last thing I want to do is figure out like, okay, where are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? You know what I mean? Like the details that are actually super important. That's why you're there, right?
Yeah.
But it's so hard to really do that. And I think that's like a really, really good skill set to be able to offer people. Like, I would be game for that. They're just like, hey, like, what do you like to do? And I tell you what I like. And then you're like, okay, this is your itinerary. Like, that's really cool.
I think about it a lot. And me and my friends, we talk about it because we're all really good at different aspects of planning a trip. You will not have a bad meal on a trip with me, okay? Because I will research all of the restaurants.
I love it.
I will read the reviews. I will call if I need to. I'm gonna look at the pictures. I love food. My other friends, really good at the hotels, finding those luxurious experiences. Another friend is really good at the history and the museums and monuments. So we talk about these things like all the time. I truly think it's just a matter of time before we combine forces and finally do it.
You mentioned food, like you're in one of the food capitals of the United States. So yeah. I think
I'm like, so happy.
Yeah,
I love that for me.
You know, I mean, Austin is the place. Like I have a cousin and he's been working in the restaurant industry for over 25 years. He's worked at some of the top restaurants in NYC. Mm-hmm. And he told me if he was ever going to leave New York City, there are only two other cities that he would consider.
Okay. Okay. What's number one and two?
Number two is Napa.
What?
Number one is Austin.
Chicago is nowhere. That's crazy.
No.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. And he's very serious about that.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. I get it because they have a lot of, I mean, or you go the outskirts, right? They have a lot of the Michelin-rated mm-hmm. restaurants. So it is this scene where kind of food and wine converge. But Austin has a little bit for everyone, which is what I love. You mm-hmm. can go there and just, it doesn't matter what kind of food you like. I just feel like Austin has a version of that for you.
I'd agree. I'm going to find them all.
Yes. So when I am in Austin next week...
Great.
I will be hitting you up. Just know that.
Sounds good. I'll be here.
Yes, that's really awesome. Yeah, but I think that's a great sign. Whatever you guys decide to do, that's cool. And the other skill is, and I don't know if you did this or if other folks did this, but getting 30 people on board for a trip, that alone is really hard.
Yeah, we did it. It worked out really well. I would love to do it again. So that'll be me kind of knocking the rust off a little bit.
Nice. Nice. Cool. Well, before I let you go, like, tell me what's next for Adorn.
Oh, man. So many things. We have our first in-person market next week, actually. We're doing the Black Girl Art Show in Dallas.
Nice.
The week and a half after that, we are headed over to Phoenix for the Arizona Jazz Fest.
Wow.
Super excited about that. And April, we have Black on the Block back in Dallas and more to come. Also waitlisted right now for Essence Fest. As soon as I get an email, I'm there.
Amazing. Well, I am going to really be hoping. I think you're going to be there.
Thank you. Those
are your people. Those are your people.
I kind of need to wear. I have thought about it. Okay, how do we do an experience around Essence Fest? Pop-up shop at a restaurant. We'll make this work. Yeah, I'm thinking creatively right now. So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Shop Adorn Headwear, and then our website at adornheadwear.com. And on the road. Please, if you're in one of these cities, please come by. That in-person shopping experience is really special, and we've put a lot of work into making it a special experience and not like you just fly by the booth, but come in, try on some hats, let's get your measurements, stay a while. And we got a couple of enhancements from last year. So even what you saw is going to be a little bit tweaked in some exciting ways. Thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you for tuning in to Hustle with Purpose. If today's stories and strategies inspired you, please leave us a review and share the podcast with fellow entrepreneurs. Want more resources and insights? Head to socialcircleinc.com and let's continue the journey together. Until next time, keep hustling with purpose.